When I was growing up, I spent a lot of Sunday afternoon and evenings in Greensboro, Indiana. Everybody know where Greensboro is? That's where my grandma and grandpa Lyons lived. Aunts, uncles, cousins, we all gathered there on Sundays, informally. There was never something specifically, no meal to go to, no birthday to celebrate. We just would gather there often on Sundays. Now, my dad had 8 brothers and sisters. There were 8 of them total, so that house could fill up, the yard could fill up pretty quickly on Sundays. And virtually no one worked. So that probably made a big difference too. Except maybe my uncle LJ, the famous race car driver at Mount Lawn. He had to work on Sundays occasionally when it was a race day. And a few of the families of the Lines attended church, but certainly not everyone. We didn't growing up. But the stores and restaurants, they were all closed. Sundays seemed to be, long before I ever heard the term, seemed to be a day of rest. Now, was it because our Lines family was honoring one of the Ten Commandments, the commandment to keep the Sabbath holy? Probably not. I think it's because there's just nothing else to do. And that's why we didn't do anything. Well, today is completely different, isn't it? Today, Sundays are no different from other days of the week for most people. Working, shopping, eating out, attending sporting events, whether we're participating or watching, running errands, camping, fishing, hunting, television, housework, yard work, naps. Sunday is just the same as any day. Oh, and a few people do go to church. Thank you for being here today. What a difference, though, Sunday has become in just my lifetime. As we continue to look at Mark, going to the next verses, and we're on chapter 2, verses 23 to 28. Ron will have them on the screen here in a second. This is what we're going to read, and then I'm going to take some discussion about the Sabbath from these verses. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting the grain on the Sabbath?" When I read this, I had to stop real quick. You know how my mind works kind of funny anyhow. When I read that very phrase, the Pharisees said, "Look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath?" My brain heard, "Nana, nana, boo, boo." And I thought, why in the world am I thinking that? It's because I thought of the Pharisees acting like little schoolyard children, taunting Jesus and his disciples for doing something that they thought was right, because they're better than everybody else, right? Pharisees are better than everyone. Well, I don't know if you realize this, but of course I get on the internet, I'm thinking, nana, nana, boo, boo, is that something real or did I just make that up as a kid? There's a word called etymology that's actually the study of word origins. And there's an etymology of nana, nana, boo, boo. It means a childish playground taunt. That's what the phrase means. But the whole phrase goes like this. "I'm better than you, nana, nana, boo, boo, stick your head in doo-doo." Now, you probably won't remember anything I say from Scripture from here on out, but you'll go look that up and try to remember that little taunt. Well, the Scripture goes on to say this, verse 25. Jesus said to them, "Haven't you ever read in the Scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only priests are allowed to eat. He also gave some to his companions." And then these next two verses, this is my key verse for today. "Then Jesus said to them, 'The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people and not the people to meet the demands or requirements of the Sabbath.' So the Son of Man," Jesus, "the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath." Now, first of all, let me just clarify something. As we read that story, we see that Jesus and disciples are running around and picking grain heads off of somebody's field. They were not stealing. The Israelite farmers, way back at the time of Moses, were instructed to leave edges of the fields unharvested for those that traveled and for the poor. So the principle was not to be greedy. And again, my mind went to seeing the movie The Grinch, the original cartoon, where the Grinch stole everything in the house. He was so greedy, but he even stole a little piece of food that was too small even for the mouse. And I think God was just telling the Israelites as a community, don't be greedy. Leave stuff around for some other folks who don't have anything. Well, specifically in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, tell us about that. It says, and again, this is God speaking through Moses to the Israelites. When you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your field, and do not pick up what the harvesters drop. It's the same with your grape crop. Do not strip every last bunch of grapes from the vine, and do not pick up the grapes that fall to the ground. Leave them for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God. And even Deuteronomy 23:25 says this, and when you enter your neighbor's field of grain, you may pluck the heads of grain with your hand. You just must not harvest them with a sickle. You see what the difference is? Now, these Pharisees who are trying to pick on Jesus and the disciples, they probably know scripture as well as anybody. That's what they do all day. They study their whole lifetime. They study to get to this level. They knew that this was something that could be done. But again, they're always looking out to try to get to Jesus. So what Pharisees said to Jesus, they said, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath? And I just thought to myself, what a bunch of tattletales. Did they make it their life's work, the Pharisees, to go around and make sure that everyone dots their I and crosses their T perfectly? Do you remember having a kid in grade school who was kind of like this? They would say, Mrs. Jones, Bobby is reading a comic book instead of his history book. Or Mrs. Smith, Bobby didn't count all the way to 10 when we were playing at recess, playing tag. Or Mrs. Johnson, Bobby keeps poking me with his pencil. You ever have that little kid? Pulling the pigtails, yeah. Yes, so we all know of that little Bobby out there who has misbehaved and somebody's tattling on them all the time. Well, my point is that the Pharisees were like a bunch of childlike tattletales, but Jesus always seemed to put them in their place and shut them up, at least until the next time they had something to tattle on him. Well, the Pharisees in the scripture that we just read, the Pharisees also said to Jesus, look, why are they breaking the law? And so I want us to identify what law are they talking about that the Pharisees are accusing them of breaking. And this whole thing, again, they were doing this on the Sabbath. So part of it was that they were eating the heads of grain, but the main thing was they were doing it on the Sabbath. They were doing work on the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 20, 8 through 11. Exodus chapter 20 is where we get the Ten Commandments. And specifically, 8 through 11 was where it talks about the Sabbath. So here's what it says in Scripture. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. Now, this includes you, your sons, your daughters, your male and female servants. The livestock get a day off too, and the foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he relaxed. He rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. So let's talk a little bit about the Sabbath, the word Sabbath. Did you know it doesn't even appear in the Bible until the time of Moses? That's a long time. That's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of time that we know of from Adam and Eve up to Moses. The word Sabbath is never mentioned. Throughout Scripture, there are some other things said about the Sabbath, particularly in the Old Testament. Not only was it to be a day kept holy, but it's a day of complete rest, the Lord said. It's a day, a holy day set apart for the Lord. It's a day dedicated to the Lord. These are all things I took directly out of Scripture, these phrases. It's the Lord's gift to you, is what he said to the Israelites. It's a sign of the covenant between God and the Jewish people from generation to generation. It's given so that the Jews may, quote, know that I am the Lord who makes you holy, and remind the nation that they were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord, quote, brought you out with his strong hand and powerful arm. Do those sound like bad things? Does this law of keeping the Sabbath holy sound like a bad thing that God is trying to just drive his knuckles down on people? No, it sounds very good. It's not to hurt or hinder. It's to help. Did you know that even Psalm 92 is a song that's written that's specifically to be sung on the Sabbath? That whole psalm. Another thing to know about the Sabbath, for the Israelites, so all these people that lived for all these hundreds and hundreds of years up to the time of the Pharisees that we're reading about, for them the Sabbath was to be celebrated weekly, annually, every seventh year, and even every 49th year, the year of Jubilee. But now, as we get back to our story, now Jesus comes along and does unthinkable things on the Sabbath, like healing people, like casting out demons, or in this case, like picking heads of grain for him and his disciples because they needed some nourishment to keep spreading that good news. Well, even though the word Sabbath itself doesn't show up until the time of Moses, the concept or the principle of a day of complete rest, a day set apart as holy to the Lord, has existed since the time of Genesis. We know the story. You know exactly where I'm going, probably. When God did his work on creation, he did this work in 6 days, and then he says he rested on the seventh. And we all know he wasn't tired. It's as if he was just setting up a principle from the very beginning of time to say, this is a good thing to do. Hundreds and hundreds of years later, he would call it the Sabbath. And as far as I can tell, correct me if I'm wrong, but Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, those folks that we know in the Bible very well, they never mentioned the Sabbath, not specifically. Now, did they go ahead and take a day of rest just because they knew the creation story? 6 days of creation, resting one. But it wasn't until the time of Moses when it actually became part of God's instructions. But the principle of working 6 days and resting one seems to have been God's plan from the beginning. Now, as I said, Jews celebrate the Sabbath on the seventh day. And so for them, basically, it's Saturday. The story of Mark record that he's recorded in his gospel, the Jewish people would have celebrated the Sabbath from Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown. But this changed when Jesus Christ came, was crucified, was buried, and rose again. Do you know what day Jesus rose again? It was Sunday. So while the Jewish people, the Israelites, God's chosen, they celebrated the seventh day as the Sabbath, ever since Christ rose again on the first day of the week, on Sunday, that's what we consider, and we don't necessarily call it the Sabbath, but we consider it the Lord's Day. And the Lord's Day is now our day of rest, our day of setting aside for the Lord, to consecrate it to him. So when Jesus said also to the Pharisees, this is the key verse. This is what I want to stress this morning. He said to the Pharisees, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people, not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. And I think we need to hear that well, because sometimes I think we think God just creates laws. Some people think this. I hope we don't. But some people might think that God just creates laws so he can catch us breaking them. As if God is parked behind a billboard in a patrol car, just waiting with a radar gun for us to come by speeding so he could give us a ticket. That's not the way God is. His laws that he's created for us, do this, don't do that, it's because his laws are based on love. And he loves us so much that as he's given us some guidelines of doing and don't doing, it's only for our benefit. So I've said all this to ask this question. What's the bottom line then for us today? It's one sentence. A day of rest is the intent of God's commandment. I do believe that's what the Sabbath is all about. That's what God was instructing us even in the time of his creation. But many people don't take the time to rest or restore or recuperate. Phrases like, gotta get it while the getting is good, or I'll lose money if I take a day off. Those are things that might be said. Now, I'll say this too. Not everybody can take Sunday off. There are job requirements where people work, and if you're a nurse, Sunday's going to be another day of the week, and you'll have to figure out what day you can take off. If you're a tow truck driver and it's snowing, you're going to be pulling out cars whatever day it snows, and they're stuck. If you're a farmer, you have to watch the weather and do what you can when you can. So there's always exceptions. And again, God's not trying to make rules so that he says, oh, you worked on Sunday. Oh, you didn't take a day of rest this week. You know, slap, slap. That's not God. He's put these principles in place for our good if we can observe them as much as possible and when possible. So let's keep that in mind. Now, there's a great theologian. You may have heard of this guy's name, Abraham Lincoln. You know, don't think of him as a theologian, but listen to what he said. And I've heard this, but I was reminded of it when I was looking at this verse. He said, give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first four sharpening the axe. Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I'll spend the first four sharpening the axe. We almost think of, if you're just sitting there, sitting down and sharpening that axe, what a waste of time. You could be out there chopping. You could be out there working. You could be productive. And yet I think the principle, it's in the Bible, even though Abraham says it a little bit differently. Spending that time sharpening the axe for cutting trees is like the time that we spend resting in a period of a week, so that it makes what we do more effective, more efficient, and it'll probably be easier for us in the long run. Well, the last thing in the scripture we read from Mark was that Jesus, the Son of Man, is Lord over the Sabbath. Jesus, the Son of Man, is the Lord over the Sabbath. And I think what Jesus is saying is three simple things. God created it, the Sabbath, or whatever day of rest we can work out. God created it for our benefit. And the second thing, we are restored and refreshed physically and spiritually when we take time to rest, and don't forget the and to focus on God. And here's the last thing. Sabbath rest is more important than Sabbath rules. Sabbath rest is more important than Sabbath rules. Remember, I think it was last week when I made mention of a couple other of the Ten Commandments. Do not murder. Don't commit adultery. And I said, and when Jesus came onto the earth and was talking about those, He said the intention of those commandments are, the do not murder is really do not hate. The intention of the idea of do not commit adultery, don't take another man for your wife, another man's wife for yours. And the intention of that commandment is don't have lust in your heart. The intention of keep the Sabbath and keep it holy, rest, make it a day of rest. The intention is we need that day of rest. Not necessarily does it have to be a particular day. I'm thankful for the folks that are here today and for the folks of you that can come regularly to make this the start of your day of rest. And stay awake with me just for a few more minutes as I finish up. Don't start resting just yet. You know, you could start applying this sermon right away, and it would make me happy on one hand. So what do we do? What do we do then on the Lord's Day to refresh us intellectually, physically, spiritually? Well, here's the thing. If a person sits at a desk all week, maybe doing something physical would be good for their day of rest. So you see somebody out doing something, hoeing in the garden, mowing their yard. Oh my, what look what they're doing on the Lord's Day. Well, they've sat at a desk all week and they're enjoying going out. And if their work is physical all week, and wow, they just slept half the day, what a waste. Well, that was how they're celebrating their day of rest, doing something opposite of maybe what their time is through the week. You know, we have to do something to recharge ourselves. Again, I believe that's the principle of this day of rest, to get recharged. God didn't need recharged. He's fully charged all the time for eternity past, eternity future, not us. And also, we're not the ever-ready bunny, are we? We cannot keep, what is it? Going and going and going. Yeah, we'll stop now. The Bible says you should work six days, and 6 days of labor, and then rest on the seventh. You know, the Bible didn't even have the idea of a five-day work week, which is what we in America think of, for the most part. 5 days for school, 5 days for work, 40 hours a week, or however you want to say it. And again, there's those jobs that are 24/7, 365. But basically, the Bible had in mind a 6 days of work and then a day of rest. Now, for me personally, I work on this day of rest, technically. So for me, I sort of set aside Mondays as my day of rest. So while my work through the week is praying and reading the Bible, studying, researching, making calls, sending out texts, doing visits when we can do visits, spending a day at Ben's doing Taco Tuesday. Those are kind of work things for me. So I sort of take Monday as my day of rest. But it's flexible. If somebody has a ministry need on Monday, I'm not going to say, excuse me, it's my day of rest. You know, and same thing with Sunday. If there's times where the ox is in the ditch and we need to get it out, whatever that means to each one of us, we got to do that day. Sorry, I can't go to church today. I've got something that has to be done. Or my company has scheduled me, or things are just the way they are to where I cannot do this on Sunday. Not this week. So we're talking about just in general the principle. Let's go ahead and have our closing song. Now, as they're preparing for the song, let me go ahead and have a prayer for us, and then we'll sing this and be dismissed. Father, I would ask that you would bring to remembrance the things from today's scriptures that we read, and also the sermon that you gave me, and bring those things to remembrance that apply to each one of us. You know, it was one message that went out, but I hope it was several messages that were received, tailored for each one of us. Now, if we have a legalistic attitude about the Sabbath, please adjust our attitude to know your grace. And if we have trouble keeping your principle for a day of rest, period, show us how it's a benefit to take the time to sharpen our axe. so we can accomplish all that you've called us to do. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, what are we going to sing?
We're going to sing Every Day with Jesus.
Every Day with Jesus.